Hi, Ma.
Wait a minute. Aren't you going to ask me why I'm sitting in the dock?
I already know. Your birthday's this weekend, and you're depressed about being older.
No, I'm not. I'm depressed because you gave me such lousy birthday presents.
Ma, you want better presents? Adopt Monty Hall.
I wish I could. Jewish sons are the best. They give great gifts, they always call, and you don't have to worry about them getting hurt playing sports.
Ma, trust me, you are going to love your present.
What is it?
You'll find out Saturday at the party.
Hey, I'm an old woman. I could die before I see it. You'd feel terrible.
Of course I would. I got it on sale. I can't return it.
Oh, hi, Dorothy. We just went shopping for Sophia's party.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
I am having the hardest time finding a present. What are you getting, Sophia, Dorothy?
I would rather not say.
It's a surprise.
You know what it is?
That's right.
Well, how come she gets to know and I don't?
Oh, Rose, 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 Rose. How can I say this diplomatically?
You're a blabbermouth, Rose.
You're a blabbermouth.
Okay, so I made one little slip. So I told Harriet Wexler you had your ears pinned back in college.
Dorothy, ears pinned back. What'd they use, a big ear stapler?
Okay, so I made a few little slips. But I can keep a secret, Dorothy. I'll prove it to you. You tell me what you got for Sophia, and if I spill the beans, I'll give you my most prized possession.
Oh, no, Rose, I couldn't do that. I couldn't accept your favorite album, Hans Klebner Meyer Yodels Beethoven. No, thank you anyway, Rose. Actually, I am going to tell you what I'm getting, Ma, because I need your help. Wait. Ma, quit listening at the door. I'm flying my mother's sister, Angela, over from Sicily.
And she's bringing the surprise?
Rose, she is the surprise.
Oh.
Now, they haven't seen each other since Angela moved back to Sicily 30 years ago.
Oh, that's a wonderful surprise.
Now, look, I'm going to need your help. I want you to help set up the party and keep Ma out of the house while I pick up Angela.
Whatever you say.
Ma, get away from the back door.
You got eyes in the back of your head or what?
Ma, why can't you just relax and enjoy your surprise?
Because the last surprise I got was when I walked in on your cousin Vito parading around in my girdle.
You're gonna love this one, Sophia.
Oh, you know what it is? What about the blabbermouth? Does she know too?
Maybe.
She knows. Rose, after dinner, what do you say we ride over to the Dairy Queen for a couple of chocolate cones? My treat.
With rainbow sprinkles, they're 5 cents extra.
What the hell? I'm a sport.
Rose, are you still here? Dorothy's due back with Angela any minute.
Sophia keeps coming up with excuses not to go shopping.
I'm ready, Rose.
Sophia, what's the matter?
I saw the doctor yesterday and I can't talk about it. Let's go to the mall.
Wait a minute. What is it, Sophia?
All right, you dragged it out of me. He says my heart is a time bomb. But don't be concerned. Except for the fact that I've only made love in one position, I've led a very full life. Let's go.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't there something we can do?
He says any little shock or surprise and it's kaboom. I guess all we can do is pray. Unless you know of any surprises, Rose.
Sophia! Now, you stop trying to trick Rose just because she's weak and vulnerable and dim-witted. Yeah. Okay, Blanche, I give up. Come on, Rose, let's go shopping. Listen, Rose, I'm sorry you got stuck shopping with me. I realize that Dorothy's forcing you to.
No, she is.
Yes, she is. She always makes you do her dirty work. She takes terrible advantage of you, Rose.
We should go.
Wait, listen. When we go to the movies, who always stands in line for the popcorn?
I do.
When we vacuum, who always lifts up the furniture?
I do.
When we clean the kitchen, who always mops?
Dorothy.
Who cleans the mop?
I do.
She takes advantage, Rose, and it's time you stood up to her. And there's no time like the present. And speaking of presents...
Rose, what are you doing here? I thought I asked you to take Ma shopping.
You can take your mop and put it where the herring don't swim.
I was this close.
Dorothy, you're home. Where's Angela?
Still out in the car. Aunt Angela, you were supposed to wait in the car. Did anyone see you?
Relax. Somebody passed by and I made like I was a lawn jockey. I think it worked. His dog tried to pee on me.
Aunt Angela, I'd like you to meet my dear friend, Blanche. Blanche, this is my Aunt Angela.
Pleasure to meet you, Angela. Dorothy, shall I get Angela's luggage?
She doesn't have any luggage.
No, I never travel with luggage. Ever since the time I found a dead man in my suitcase.
You found a dead man in your suitcase?
Right. Picture it. New York City, 1956. I was a young widow returning to Sicily. There I was, on the boat, alone, watching Lady Liberty grow smaller in the distance, when suddenly I heard a voice from the vicinity of my knees. I looked down. There was a midget. It turns out that his name was Pee-wee Bonbonzi. And he was fleeing from the mob. Well, for the next few days, we ate together, laughed together, and went for short walks in circles. And then one day, suddenly, Pee-wee disappeared. Well, we docked in Sicily, and I was going through customs, and I noticed a strange odor coming from my suitcase. I thought it was the veal shank that I was bringing over for Mother's Day. But when the customs man opened the suitcase, there was Pee-wee. Someone had stuffed him in my suitcase between the veal shank and my beaver coat. Well, the mob had gotten Pee-wee after all.
Oh, my God, you must have been heartbroken.
I was absolutely devastated. I mean, first I had to burn the suitcase and then the beaver coat. And the veal shank never did taste right.
Oh, Aunt Angela, you made that up.
Hey, I'm 80. As long as I keep talking, I know my heart is still beating.
Angela, may I offer you something to eat?
As long as it isn't veal. Well, it's not because of Pee-wee. I had some on the plane.
Ma, what are you doing home?
Oh, I left my shopping list in the kitchen.
There you are, Sophia. She outsmarted me, Dorothy.
You're kidding. I mean, how is that possible?
It wasn't my fault. We were backing down the driveway, and Sophia told me I ran over Mrs. Stouffer.
And you believed her?
Well, I had to check. Last week, I did pin her and her walker to the fence on a wide right turn.
I have to get my shopping list.
I have your shopping list.
Good. Then everyone is happy, with the possible exception of Mrs. Stouffer. Enjoy your shopping.
Dorothy, why don't I just show Angela where she'll be staying?
Good idea. You get yourself settled, and then we can catch up on family.
Okay. You know, Dorothy, Blanche here could be the identical twin of your cousin Apollonia. Apollonia was a stunningly beautiful woman.
Oh, thank you.
Except for that huge donkey butt.
Hi, Ma. You having fun?
No, give me my present.
Not
Until after we slice my looks like chocolate, tastes like spice, you'll wish you had a bigger slice marble cake. You know where it got its name?
No, give me my present.
I'll go get the candles.
Rose, I gotta congratulate you. You made it without giving away my present.
Sophia, you stop trying to make me tell you.
Relax, Rose. Dorothy already told me what it is.
She did?
Yeah, what a present. Boy, was I surprised.
Dorothy, I didn't know you already told Sophia that her surprise was in
Rose. The... Oh, all right, Ma. You'll get your present right now. I give up. You win. You always win.
I know. Me and Mighty Mouse. All right, everybody, gather round. My daughter is about to give me my big birthday surprise.
I just want to say happy birthday to my mother, whom I love very, very much. And I just hope that you love this present as much as I love giving it to you. Okay, Blanche.
Angela?
No, Gina Lola Brigida.
This is my surprise?
Yes. So happy birthday, Ma.
Happy birthday? You call this old bag a present?
You brought me all the way from Sicily to be insulted?
I hate that woman! I hate her devil!
Well, did you get him talking?
Nope. I just spent a half hour out in the hall talking to two closed doors.
Don't feel bad, Dorothy. Sometimes when I'm upset, I talk to the little pigs on my shower curtain.
Rose, I was trying to talk to my mother and Aunt Angela, but they wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't talk to each other, and I have no idea what this is all about.
Oh, I do. There's only one thing that can turn blood relatives into enemies. Jealousy. Huh, I ought to know. You see, I was a devastatingly beautiful child. Pink cheeks, cute little button nose, red ruby lips, adorable little ringlet curl.
I was the tallest baby in the history of New York and had a rash on my head till I was two.
Oh, well, my sister Charmaine was insanely jealous of me from the time I was a gorgeous little infant. See, she was 1 year ahead of me in school, and we used to compete for everything. But there was one thing that Charmaine did excel at. Cheerleading. Not only could she twirl that baton like a propeller, but she knew every cheer in the county. And she could twist her body into the shape of the letter R. Well, finally Charmaine decided it was her turn to be in the spotlight. So she challenged me to compete against her for captain of the cheerleading squad. When the day came, we had to perform in front of the entire school. And Charmaine was fantastic. She twirled those batons so fast she looked like a DC-3 coming in for a landing. Then it was my turn. So I did some cartwheels and only fell once. I did a handstand and almost got my balance. And I only dropped my baton four times. And when I was finished, I was unanimously voted captain of the cheerleading squad.
Blanche, how was that possible?
Underneath my regulation uniform, I was wearing little black French lace panties. Bearing the words, bonjour. Or was it bon appetit? Anyway, it was something in French. I guess nobody minded that I couldn't do a handstand, but they surely did appreciate me trying.
But I don't understand. Blanche, just once, why couldn't you let your sister win?
I told you, Dorothy, jealousy is a terrible thing. That'll teach Charmaine to be Daddy's favorite.
Girls, there's only one way we're going to solve this problem. We have to find out what Sophia and Angela are mad about and then force them to sit down and settle it. It's like that old Scandinavian saying, you can let two angry mackerel fight it out in a purse, but don't ever plan on carrying that purse to a formal affair.
Oh,
Well, it loses a little in the
translation.
But the point of it is that it's human nature to want to make up. I mean, people stay angry out of habit. If we can just get Angela and Sophia to talk, I have a feeling they'll do the rest.
Sounds logical to me.
To me, too. But don't forget, we're dealing with two old women here who think that boils on a man are a sign of virility. I mean, logic doesn't exactly apply here.
Well, at least we can give it a try.
I think Rose is right. Dorothy, why don't you take Angela and we'll talk to Sophia?
Fine. At this point, I'll try anything.
I always thought it was the size of a man's feet that were a sign of virility.
Really? I always thought it was the number of newspapers piled up outside the motel room door.
Aunt Angela, please. No, we have to talk.
What's to talk about? Your mother's a stubborn old goat who apparently pays a buck and a half to have her hair done.
What is going on between you two?
I don't want to talk about it.
Now, look, I have spent weeks working on this surprise, only to have it blow up in my face. Now, don't you think that I at least deserve to know why?
Okay. Okay, you want to know so bad? I'll tell you right now. Picture it. New York City, Christmas, 1955. It's Francesca Raguso's annual Christmas bash. Everybody is there, eating, drinking, guzzling the Pepto-Bismol. Well, I mean, Francesca's a beautiful woman, but she makes a manicotti like you could anchor a boat with. Oh, well, as usual, Sophia is stationed at the eggnog, and she's drinking right from the bowl through a swizzle stick. When my husband, Carmine, walks in and passes right under the mistletoe, well, she makes a beeline to him and gives him such a kiss you could practically suck the beard off his face.
I don't remember Uncle Carmine having a beard.
He was in a Santa suit. And he had one of those hook-on beards. Well, I mean, I can't believe what I'm looking at. So I go to her and I yank her into the pantry and I say, what do you think you're doing? She says, she thought Cuneo, the bookmaker, was in the Santa suit. And I say, that's a lie. Well, we have a big fight about it. She denies the whole thing and we never speak again.
Oh, Aunt Angela, come on, that was 30 years ago. Don't you think you should talk to each other?
I'm not going to say one word to her unless she apologizes. That's the only reason I came over here.
Aunt Angela, please, we're talking about family here. Won't you try to work it out? Do it for your favorite niece.
What's your cousin Graziella got to do with this?
Please, just do it. Please, please, pretty please.
Oh, all right, all right. Don't beg. You sound just like your Uncle Carmine after he'd been away on a goat drive.
So you're not going to tell us what happened?
Nope.
Well, Sophia, that's your choice, but I think you're making a mistake. You see, the same thing happened in my family once. My cousin Astrid...
All right. I'll tell you what happened.
Picture it. New York City, Christmas, 1955. Francesca Raguso's annual Christmas bash. Everyone is there, including the neighborhood heartthrob Salvador DeMillo. All the women adore Salvador, mainly because he's the only guy in the room with a neck. Anyway, I'm feeling a little queasy. Francesca makes a great party, but she bakes a manicotti you could anchor a boat with. So I go upstairs for a Broma seltzer when suddenly Salvador grabs me from behind and begins passionately kissing me. Being a respectable married woman, I cop a few good feels. Push him away and run back to the party. But I have to tell someone what happened. So I tell the only person in the world I trust, my sister Angela. 5 minutes later, everybody at the party is talking about it. So I drag Angela into the pantry and ask her how she could betray her own sister. We have a big fight, she denies everything, and we never speak again.
But Sophia, honey, that was 30 years ago. Isn't it time to forgive and forget?
Forget I do plenty, I never forgive.
But Angela's your sister.
If she wants to talk to me, she knows where to find me. In the closet.
Ma! Angela has something she'd like to say.
So does Sophia.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Your hair got white.
So did yours. You still got that cat? The same cat I had 30 years ago? Fine, you ask the questions. Don't tell me what to do.
Ladies, now, let's not lose our tempers.
If you didn't come in here to apologize, why don't you leave?
Why should I apologize?
I'll tell you why, because you're nothing but a backstabbing Judas in sensible shoes.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know what you are? You're a 2-lira tramp with cheap bridge work.
May you put your dentures in upside down and chew your head off.
May your legs grow old and gnarled and withered like an olive branch. You should be so lucky.
May your moles grow hair thicker than Jerry Vale's.
May your marinara sauce never cling to your pasta.
That's it. Come back here and say that to my face.
Angela, you really don't have to go.
Thank you, Dorothy. I'd like to stay, but I hate your mother. Goodbye, ladies, and thank you for everything.
She's still here?
No, I left an hour ago. What does it look like?
Look, can't the two of you at least say goodbye like civilized human beings? All right, that's it. I give up. Ma, goodbye. Angela, let's go. No, wait. I have something I want to say. When I was a little girl, there were two people I admired more than anyone else in the world. My mother and my favorite aunt. And now the two of you are at each other's throats and it's breaking my heart. I mean, so my mother kissed your husband at some stupid Christmas party. What does it matter now? You realize that this may be the last time you two see each other ever? Is this the way you want things left between you?
Wait a minute. Are you referring to Francesca Raguso's Christmas party back in 55?
Yes, the one where you kissed my Carmine.
What? I never kissed Carmine. You never even kissed Carmine.
I remember it like it was yesterday. You were in a green satin dress and a fringe shawl, which you did everything but sleep in.
You're crazy. I wasn't wearing the fringe shawl that night. I lent it to Maria Finestro.
Who?
Maria, the one with the huge breasts. Remember, after the band left, there was no entertainment, so all the men pitched pennies into her cleavage? She walked off with $19 of my husband's hard-earned money. She was the one wearing the fringe shawl.
Are you trying to tell me it was Maria who came onto my Carmine?
Him and every other male in the room.
So why am I mad at you?
You're not. I'm mad at you. You betrayed me.
You're out of your mind. I never betrayed anybody in my life.
Bull. You told everyone at the party Salvador DeMille tried to kiss me.
I never told a soul.
Nobody else knew but you. We were alone in the kitchen when I spilled my guts out.
We weren't alone. Vinnie Jamala was drunk under the table.
What are you talking about?
I can't believe you don't remember. He threw up in your shoe.
That was Vinnie?
Well, he must have overheard everything. He's the one who blabbed your secret.
Then you never betrayed me?
Of course not. You're my sister.
Angela.
Sophia.
I don't believe this.
I think it's sweet.
I think I'm going to cry.
I think they should both be committed.